That's why we have producers.
Indeed, just to save us from ourselves.
Oh, you weren't kidding just before we go live.
No, I wasn't. We were like,
never, don't curse into a microphone, guy. Good grief.
I think you would have learned by now.
You think I would have learned by now. Hey, everybody, I'm Kyle Rizdo. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense, cursing sometimes along the way. Just, you know,
think about the range of the words and what's allowed and what's not, so we don't get the little language warnings on our podcast. I'm Kimberly Adams.
Sorry to interrupt. Unbeknownst to me, Bridget's been bleeping us the whole time.
What?
Yes, I know.
Bridget.
Now, you think I would listen to my own podcast, but I really don't because that's a whole different kind of thing to explain. Exactly. But yeah, Bridget the other day, when I said, oh, we're going to get the E for this, she said, oh, that's okay. I beep you guys all the time. I'm like, dude, man, what?
Well, I suppose that should open all doors for things that we can say.
I know, right? I know. God.
All right. Well, thank you for everyone who is joining us live on the YouTube live stream, where I don't think they can bleep us in real time, and those who are listening later to the podcast, and they can. This is Economics on Tap, where we do the news fix, we play some half full, half empty, we drink. And what are you drinking? It looks like you're drinking water.
I'm drinking water again because I have to drive later, by which I mean like at 4 o'clock my time. So, you know, prudence being the better part of driving while you've had a beer. I'm having water.
Yeah, don't want to do that.
Yeah. No.
No. And it's a very healthy choice, especially when it's like ungodly hot out there, right?
It's crazy. It's crazy. But look, beer hydrates you. Come on. It's mostly water. Is that not right? Is beer not mostly water? Mm-mm.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure it is, but I don't think it's the hydration that you're hoping for there. I'm not even attempting it. I'm having a Manhattan, which I haven't made in a while.
Oh, good for
so
you.
I was a little out of practice, and I had like my fancy cherries, and they were like way in the back of the fridge, and the juice around them had all coagulated and stuff. But nevertheless, it's delicious.
All right. Shall we do some little news, and then we'll do the Friday thing? All right.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, mine is about the election in Alaska, which was very fascinating for a variety of reasons. One is that we saw the return of Sarah Palin, where I guess she never truly disappeared, but this was going to sort of be her attempt to return to national politics. And this was running for the single House seat representing Alaska in the House of Representatives. And she lost in a special election to Mary Peltola. Yes, Peltola. And it's very fascinating because Alaska did ranked choice voting, which just a few other places do. I think New York City does it. Is it Maine also that does some ranked choice voting?
I don't know. I should, but I
don't. Yeah. So a couple of other places do ranked choice voting, and the fact that it happened here, it's on a state level vote in more than one place. I think it's just interesting to keep an eye on this as a strategy to address some of the political polarization in this country. Because one of the reasons that we are entrenched in the two-party system is because, you know, if you know that one of the members of the two parties is most likely going to win, it gives less of an opportunity for people in the middle or third parties or any other candidates to really get a shot because people will think they're wasting their vote if they vote for those people. Christine in the YouTube chat says Massachusetts also has some ranked choice voting. And a lot of people don't like it because they think that it, you know, basically takes power away from the two parties, which some folks don't like. But I think it's a very interesting experiment. And the fact that it's being rolled out, it's standing up in court, and lots of places are pushing for the ballot initiatives. And I wonder if this strategy is going to start addressing that part of the political polarization. Yeah. It's just fascinating.
Which would be cool. Because any way we can get out of the political polarization in which we find ourselves trapped, and which is destructive, would be good. That would be good.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, I've got a couple of quickies. Number one, and the real news actually, is how bad things are over in the UK. And I don't want people to sleep on the situation in Europe writ large, right? The winter's coming, they're having gas problems. The Russians have closed down Nord Stream 1. But here's what I want to talk about. And it's inflation over in the UK is at 10.1%. They're going to have a new prime minister within a number of days. There are strikes and people not paying their power bills and energy bills, right? Because it's natural gas. And all kinds of things are going bad. Also, the pound sterling is down to $1.15. $1.15. When Brexit went through, it was like $1.36. It's lost so much of its value. Not great for exports out of that country. It's just really just, you know, just not good over there. And I think we should keep an eye on the UK. There's a recession coming. There's a recession coming in Europe. They're having their inflation's going up while ours is going down. People should just be keeping an eye on that. And it's a global economy, and you gotta know what's going on.
So that's can I stop one. For just a moment and of sort course. Of rewind, because I realized that I didn't actually explain what ranked choice voting was.
When oh we yeah, were talking sure. About go ahead. Sorry, now. that's so funny. I just kind of assumed knowledge. Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, not everybody knows that. So this is where instead of just voting in an election and whoever gets the most votes wins. In the way that ranked choice voting or instant runoff, as lots of folks are talking about in the chat, instant runoff or ranked choice voting works is that if nobody gets to 50% or more than 50% in the first round of voting, they basically knock off the bottom candidates, the people who got so few votes there's really no chance. And the people who voted for those folks get their votes distributed amongst the candidates mm-hmm. that remain. And if still nobody reaches more than 50%, they knock off the other bottom candidates. And they keep doing that until somebody gets over the threshold of 50%. And that is ranked choice voting. And so maybe they'll take that and move it into the beginning part of the podcast in post-production. Sorry about that. Okay.
Or they could just kind of leave it where it was because things happen, you know, yeah. Naturally. I'm just saying.
I forget.
Bridget gets to decide. But anyway. So that's my substantive news item of the day. The British economy is in deep and serious trouble, and the pound is crashing. Number two, I heard something on the Marketplace Morning Report this morning that I just wanted to distribute to a wider audience. It was David Brancaccio, the host of that program, talking to Julia Coronado, who's one of their Friday regulars, about the jobs report. And she said something that I think is really important. People feel lousy in this economy because inflation is very high. And things are challenging, and interest rates are going to keep going up. But Julia said this morning that the economy is cooling in an orderly way, and that's really important. Nothing is crashing. The markets are going down, yes. Interest rates are going up, yes. But it's happening in a planned way. It's happening not in a chaotic way. The Dow drops 1% a day. That's fine. Don't check your 401ks every day. It's not dropping 10% a day. It's not dropping 5% a day. There's not crazy volatility. It's all happening in an orderly way. And that's really key for people to keep in mind. Okay? I just want everybody to feel better about that. And then
some
finally,
folks in the chat seem yes. to disagree with you on the orderly thing or disagree with Julia Coronado.
Where are they? I'm waiting. I'm looking.
Sarah Schlosser,
the economy. Orderly, yeah, the stock market is not the economy. That's totally true. The stock market's not the economy. But here's one way that the economy is cooling in an orderly way. So we had first quarter GDP growth come in at a -1.6%. We had second quarter GDP growth come in at -0.9%, later revised to -0.6%. That is to say, it's slowing less. The Atlanta Fed runs a thing called GDP Now, and which that has third quarter GDP coming in at a +1.6% growth rate. So we're not growing at the 5, 6, 7% that we were growing late last year. We had a tough first half of the year, and now the second half is bouncing back a little bit. We're growing, but more slowly. What are the other objections?
I love that you have all those numbers off the top of your head. That's so impressive.
It's just literally my job. I'm steeped in this stuff, and sometimes I hate it. Sometimes I hate it.
All right.
All right. Anyway, so there we go. And then finally, and most importantly and fun, Artemis, the Artemis window for tomorrow is 2:17 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time to 4:17 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So if you want to see a really big rocket launch, and if they figure out that motor problem, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, East Coast time.
Shameless plug for the interview we had on Marketplace Tech with Peter Gerritsen, space defense commercial space economy guy. Yep. And he, I literally met this dude at a cocktail party at a defense think tank in like 2009, and like I've been following his work ever since. And he had so many interesting things to say about, you know, the point of going to the moon, the type of economy that we might set up on the moon, what that means for going to Mars. It was super fascinating.
Yep. Yeah. Total good shout out. Okay.
All right. Game time. People loved being able to see him last week, like over my shoulder in the studio.
It was great. Absolutely. So half full, half empty is the game. Drew Jostad's in charge. Ready, go.
Okay. Are you half full or half empty on being able to tell if you got a phone call from your boss, but it was a deep fake?
I'm going to let you go first because I have things to say.
On the theory that my boss may listen to this podcast, I welcome any phone call from my boss. Fake or not. How about that? Was that cowardly enough?
I think it works. So this is based on a story that we did on tech earlier in the week about, I interviewed this reporter from Protocol who had written about the rise in deep fake audio scams, where basically the technology, you know, a deep fake video is still kind of easy to recognize, but a deep fake audio voice is the technology has gotten so good that you can mimic someone's voice with like as little as 3 seconds right. of their voice. And it doesn't sound real when you hear it in high quality, but if someone leaves you a voicemail, you can definitely make it sound like someone. So somebody was saying that we did one and I gave them a little bit of my voice and they tried to deepfake it. But the audio file came back like really like distorted. And so when we tried to play it, it didn't quite sound as realistic as I think it would have otherwise. But again, if you're talking about leaving somebody a voicemail.
Right.
You might actually.
On the phone or.
Yeah, or on the phone. Yeah. You might actually fool somebody. And so there have been. Companies are getting targeted. So there's already phishing attacks and, you know, all these other things. And companies have lost significant money already doing this. And it's like if you got a voicemail from someone who sounded just like your boss telling you to do something that sounded a little weird and it was urgent and they were like, and you couldn't reach them, what are you going to do? I am half full that this is happening and the technology is getting better, half empty on what it means for, you know, verification of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Yeah. I don't know. It's all weird.
Yeah, that's fair.
Next topic. True. In the heat wave this week, Californians are being asked to conserve energy, including maybe avoiding charging their cars. Are you half full or half empty?
Well, so the reason this came up is because 10 days ago, the California Air Resources Board put out a new regulation that said all new cars sold in the state of California by 2035 have to be non-fossil fuel, right? No emissions. And it's just a lovely little irony that we're trying to move, but our power grid can't handle the move. And by irony, I mean small tragedy because we really got to get moving on this stuff. So I'm half full on the attempt to move and I'm half empty on the current state of our power grid. How about that?
What Kai said.
Yeah.
All right. Easy enough.
All right.
Little did you know this whole half full, half empty is me being a deep fake, but.
That would have been really funny, actually.
Oh gosh. My God. Well, you know, everybody really thinks that I'm Siri American voice number two anyway, so it's not like you have to work that hard.
Are you half full or half empty on creating oxygen on Mars?
All the way.
You got to be half full. All the way. I mean, yes, of course.
And it's such a small device. Yeah. So this is a story. I saw it in passing, but I didn't get all the details on it. Did you? Oh, they gave me a link. Thank you, Marketplace APM in the YouTube chat. Okay, so the Perseverance can make as much oxygen on Mars as a small tree. So.
Oh, that's cool.
the Mars Oxygen In Situ Resource Utilization Experiment, better known as MOXIE, has been successfully making oxygen on Mars from Mars's carbon dioxide-rich atmosphere in a series of tests as part of NASA's Perseverance rover mission, which landed on Mars in February of 2021, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. great because that's going to help mm-hmm. eventually humans and plants on Mars.
Well, eventually, I mean, you know, it'll be, we're going to get there. We're going to have to.
Man, Sharif went to the dark place right away. It could wake something up that should have stayed asleep. Come on, dude.
Well, did you read the thing? Bridges put this in the chat, and I gave her a little bit of a hard time. They're building a special, like bio lab to handle all the Mars samples in case there's something in there that should be asleep.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Are you half full or half empty on those gray wood panel floors?
I have zero idea what you're talking about.
This is a story that Rima did on Monday, a queue on Marketplace, about the HGTVification of home decor.
I'm a hardwood all the way guy, empty like on regular this. Conventional hardwood guy. Yeah, I mean, empty, hard empty.
So,
full stop.
On the one hand, I do appreciate like the streamline, the cool look, and that it allows, because it is so mainstream, it allows a lot of people a more affordable way to get a kind of decorating that makes them feel good about their homes. So I will give that. On the other hand, it does kind of strip the warmth out of places,
yeah.
I feel.
Yeah, it's not.
And I like it in lobbies and maybe even in hotels, but not necessarily in homes. Give Kai a break. He had the day off. Gosh, Marketplace.
Just for the record, it's documented that I have a very hard time listening to my program when I'm not on my program. I've never made any secret of that, ever. It's really hard for me to listen when I'm not doing it. It's hard for me to listen when I am doing it, but that's a whole different thing. It's true. And now you know a little something about me. Drew, help me. Stop. Save me. Right.
Save me, Drew.
Dolly Parton is starting a line of pet clothing and accessories called Doggy Parton. Are you half full or half empty?
I'm all the way in. Dolly can do no wrong.
I know. Totally. She's a national treasure. I wanted to do that as my make me smile yesterday, but was totally preempted by that amazing letter that we got from our listener.
Yeah.
My only half. So actually, I'm going to go half full on this because there's nothing for cats.
Oh, wow.
As far as I could tell.
You know why?
So no wig for Jasper.
I'm going to alienate half the audience and my co-host here. Dogs are better. And I
for
grew up
what?
A cat person. For everything.
Dogs are better for what?
Dogs are better for everything.
I'm just. You know what cats are better for?
Person.
Ever
Nothing.
Sleeping late again.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Totally. Oh my goodness. All right. We have avoided the civil war.
You don't
all
have
right,
to,
we're,
you don't have to
we're,
like put your hand in the bag and touch the warm.
Oh, yes, but nor do you have to empty a freaking litter box if you've got dogs. I mean, well, I suppose you have to directly pick up the poop as opposed to scooping it. Yes, I know. I heard it when I said it. Never mind.
No. My uncles, when they were both still with us, I was trying to suggest things for them that might make their lives a little bit easier while my uncle was handling full-time caregiving and my other uncle was quite ill. And I suggested for them that they get one of these automatic robot litter boxes so that one less thing they'd have to do would be to clean the litter box for their cat buddy.
Of course.
So instead, they looked at it and they thought it was a really great idea and they sent it to me instead of getting one for themselves.
Well, there you go.
And so I have a robot litter box because my uncles were like, that's a great idea for you.
I was just, once people reach a certain age, you can't change them in their ways. You just can't. It's that whole old
really
cat new tricks thing. See what I did there? All right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we're going. We are off on Monday for Labor Day. If you are as well, enjoy yourself. If you're working, thank you for working on a holiday. Join us Tuesday, though. We're going to talk artificial intelligence. Lots to talk about it these days. We will add to it. We'll do a primer a little bit. We'll do possibilities and challenges. And that'll be on Tuesday.
So I'll have to stop because it looks like we've got our next fundraising item because lots of people are suggesting Econ Daddy shirts. Do you understand this reference?
I don't even know what an Econ Daddy shirt is. I don't know. Who's the Econ Daddy?
I'm
going
to explain that to you later.
No, I am not. Do not. We're not doing the Econ Daddy. No.
I don't know if you can stop it at this point, Guy. In the meantime, keep sending us your thoughts and questions. We're at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Or you can leave us a message, including with your T-shirt recommendations. We're at 508-827-6278. That's 508-U-B-SMART. Everybody say explain on camera. I think I need to be away with him while he
Make Me Smart is produced
this.
By Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode, I'm la 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 la. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad. The senior producer of this podcast is Bridget Bonner.
The team behind the YouTube live stream and our Friday game is Mel Rosenberg and Emily McCude, and with theme music by the always wonderful Drew Jostad, and our director of On Demand is Donna Tam. And shout out to Mel Rosenberg and Emily McCune for struggling with this without our wonderful Steven. And I know it's a little bit of a struggle, but we're getting there.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.